Hello, and welcome back to Thornvale. As always, I'm excited to get started with this, but before we do, I want to invite you to join us over on The Actual Place. That is our Discord server where we love to hang out and talk to our fans. I am super excited to talk to our fans about some of the stuff that's coming up in real life. You know, stuff we're just waiting to release because we're so freaking far ahead.
Yup.
Alrighty, with that, I think we'll go ahead and get into it. But first, let's find out what happened last time on Thornvale.
Turns we were so sure that Hank was Empty Man bonded, but apparently not, because I was stuck outside this stupid barrier, and I mean, he cut Sammy's throat, the barrier dropped, I was gonna lay onto him if I could get him, but somebody decided to blow my leg out, so I was on the ground for a bit, but eventually we managed to get into the cabin. Stanley was there. That was a little weird, because, you know, it was the other Stanley, not mine. Yeah, so Sammy managed to throw up her barrier. There was a whole lot of holes happening in the building. We assumed that Secret Agent Man would be able to help us out, because, of course, wasn't going to leave us stuck there, which eventually did happen. Of course, we didn't know about that until giant fire and green and everything. And actually, no, it was the axe. Yeah, we saw the axe fly by, and so we knew it was him. We heard his voice initially. We didn't know who it was. And, of course, I'd knocked out Hank. He was still on the ground. I managed to get to him. Looked like Sammy was squaring up with Samantha. Managed to freeze her. We were sort of being this guard for other Stanley to get him through the portal, which ultimately we did. I had to stab. I stabbed Hank twice. That was so, oh, very satisfying. Anyway, we managed to do this, and then just for good measure, I hit Samantha too, because I thought, well, she could just show up whenever, but now we don't really have an actual plan for what happens when we get back to the fort, since Hank managed to break into it on his own accord before, but at least Miguel knows in advance and might be able to come up with something, because if we can somehow figure out what the heck is going on with him, we could finally have an advantage.
Alrighty. So we are back. We are coming back into where we left off with you guys delivering Hank and Manly. Is that what you guys wanted to call him?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the only fitting alternate name.
Or Alt Stan.
No.
Alt Stan.
No. No. Manly.
Uncle Stan.
Is there a nickname for Stanley other than Stan? I'm going to Google it.
I don't think so.
Manly.
Stan, Stanny, Stannis. Tan Lee,
I don't like any of
those. I think all of those are fake.
Those don't sound.
Nobody actually uses those.
I'm sorry if your name is Stanny.
Oh, Stan.
Yeah, if you actually do use that, I apologize for
Stanford.
Well, I guess it's not necessarily your parents who give you the nickname. Never mind. I apologize for whoever gave you that nickname, but really, it's okay if you do.
If you're a Stanny, tell us, tweet us, or whatever. What do you call it on X now? Is
Wait,
it still
okay,
called tweeting?
Speaking of weird nicknames, I just found out Kip, like K-I-F, is a shortened form of Clifford.
What?
Yes.
Huh. Well, it's like Kit is like a shortened version of Christopher.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Names are weird.
It feels like Chris's have a lot of nicknames.
Yeah.
Chris, Christopher, yeah. Kit. Nicknames are funny. I don't know how some nicknames like just happen.
We're nervous.
You know,
can
strange.
You tell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are all kind of babbling, but I kind of want to know what happens next. Like, you get him back to the fort. What do you do with him?
Hell if we know.
Well,
we didn't plan for this.
I literally don't know. So
we didn't plan for this.
My idea was to take him to the kitchen, because the kitchen is where Sammy got stuck on the other side. So the kitchen seems fairly adequately warded.
Well, who's to say that our side is warded at all? Do we know if Miguel
actually did
anything?
Yeah, Miguel put wards up.
Well, we told him that, like, what happened and to make sure that it was warded in the same way.
Yeah, but there's no real way to test that unless he comes to and tries to bust out, but
guess we're gonna find out.
I mean, we haven't actually played out,
we
like,
effed
really
around
talking
and we're
gonna
find out.
Yeah, we haven't really role-played out talking to Stanley and Miguel in person, just the phone call, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think so. I think here, let's bring it back here. I think Stanley and Miguel meet you guys down in the grotto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that what you're calling?
Well, that's what I've always thought boats. Of it as. It's like a little like cave area with grotto. Little, you know, the
yeah, no, no,
the
it
boats.
Makes sense. Meets you guys down in the grotto. I think Stanley immediately is like shocked to see himself. And like other Stanley is also like, this is strange.
Do they like shake hands or like?
How does alternate Stanley react to seeing Miguel?
He seems just distinctly uncomfortable with the entire situation.
Okay.
Just generally speaking.
I need to ask a question like outside of the game really quick.
Okay.
Has Sammy or Henry ever touched their alternate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We covered this a while ago.
Yeah, I the reason I'm grabbed asking... Samantha like by the shirt and threatened her. So.
And okay. He made my that's right. He made my fingernail fall off in the fishies. Remember?
Yeah.
Yep. The reason that I asked is because my brain started like just plasting ahead like way in advance of where we're at right now, and I'm like already thinking ahead to like, okay, well, Stanley just met himself. What if, like, a way we can, like, save the alternates is to find a way for the real people to just absorb their alternates?
Mm.
But
that's
I don't
weird.
Know if that really... Yeah, that doesn't feel right. Mm. It's just a passing fancy of my brain, I guess. But we'll carry on. So we come into this grotto, you know, in the boat. We've got Hank and Manly. And I guess Stanley's, like, staring at himself. And Bjorn looks over at Miguel and he's just like, so how dangerous do you think this is? You got any ideas of how to make this a little bit better?
And he's just staring down at the passed out Hank.
Yeah, Sammy's actually gonna check says, Hank for a pulse, by the way.
he's got a pulse.
Okay,
he's breathing,
okay.
He's just asleep.
Okay.
You know, from experience, it won't be too long until he starts waking up. But yeah, I think Miguel says, well, I guess we could put them in the oubliette.
Is that gonna work, though? Isn't that where he teleported in and erased Sammy's memories?
Well, that was before we knew, you know, what was going on. But I've changed the, you know, all I've put in more warts since then. That should hopefully work.
Does it matter that using the empty man's name didn't do anything to him? Do your words even affect the Fae?
And he just kind of opens his mouth and then shuts it again.
That's what I'm worried about. Are we really sure that capturing him like this is going to end up good for us?
There's no way to be sure. The fact is we've got him and we got to do something. Now come on.
I can keep him sedated.
That's why we're talking about this, Henry.
We can talk as much as we want.
Henry, we can't just do something.
Yeah, we can't just do something without knowing what we're going to do, Henry.
All right, okay. Let's just... One at a time.
Look, the best I can do is I can keep him sedated. Otherwise, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with him. Like, I've never had to try to deal with him, his kind, really, before.
We don't know what he is, speaking of. If the empty man's name didn't work on him, something else is going on.
Yeah, their deal is different. He alluded to that much when he was here previously.
If you can keep him out, maybe I can look through his memories and find whatever deal this is.
That's true. Yeah, that might work.
It's a good start.
Something we can do, at least. All right, let's get him into the oubliette. I'll bring some stuff. I still think that's the safest room.
I think so.
All right.
Boys.
See, was that so bad, Henry?
Just saying we could walk and talk. We're on a time frame here.
Bjorn rolls his eyes.
So you guys pick up Hank and start pulling him in, and start bringing him towards the oubliette. And I think you guys see Manly get out and get out of the boat and kind of stretch a little bit and look over to Stanley and give him a nod. Stanley returns the nod. Neither one of them talks.
You know what I just realized? We're going to get 2 times the sandwiches. Or we're going to get sandwiches twice as fast. I guess we'd only get 2 times the sandwiches if we have more
Actually,
materials.
I think as you guys are like walking out of this, out of the grotto and into the main area of the fort, I think Stanley turns to his alternate and says, "You hungry?" And the guy nods vigorously.
Unless alternate's comfort food is not sandwiches, and it's something else.
I was thinking about how alternate Stanley... is gonna meet Gideon for the first time.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
boy.
Mm, interesting.
I was sad about it.
The alternate is only like a couple months off timeline-wise, so I would assume that the love of sandwiches was ingrained by that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I think Stanley was born with a love of sandwiches.
Yes.
You guys take Hank into the oubliette, and I think you see Ben and Salem kind of come out and see what's going on and kind of look between Henry and Hank, confused. And then you see, and then Miguel kind of snaps at them and tells them to start bringing stuff from his, start bringing some medical stuff that they can use to keep him knocked out. Bring a bed and all that stuff. And I think Miguel heads off towards it to get like the proper drugs. You guys meet up a couple minutes later and you set him on a little medical bed and get an IV into his arm that'll keep him knocked the heck out.
Should we handcuff at least one of his hands to the bed just for extra safety measures? It might not last long, but it'll at least slow him down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He is tied to the bed.
I mean, I would assume he's cuffed like hand and foot or something.
Yeah, he is firmly stuck to the bed.
Okay.
We bothered to even give him a bed?
I mean, like a medical bed.
Well, it's easier
bed.
To deal with.
Like a gurney.
Yeah, it's
kind
one of the
thing.
Medical beds.
It seems like we're treating him too well.
Well, it's a lot harder to get the IV all the way down to the floor.
I mean, we could have given him a hard table.
it's harder to handcuff someone to a hard table.
I guess that is kind of evil to torture somebody.
I mean, kind of.
He is still a child, even if he's an evil child.
you shouldn't keep making sense in this regard. I don't like it.
So, what do you guys do now?
I mean, if he's officially knocked out, then I personally like Sammy's idea of just window shopping his memories and trying to find things out.
See if she can find the point where he made his deal with the empty man and see if that gives us the information we need. See what we can glean from it.
I just had a bad thought. What if the entity inside is not the empty man, who's to say that it was affected by being knocked out?
I guess there's only one way to
find out.
Oh, that's a bad thought, but I guess that's all we can do. Okay.
Yeah, so once Hank is like all set up and Miguel gives her like the go ahead, Sammy's going to pull like a chair over to kind of sit like behind the bed, like at Hank's head, you know what I mean? And like put both of her hands on his head and just take a deep breath. And because this mental magic hasn't been going well for her lately.
Oh man, can you imagine if she's like, never mind, I'm not going to speak it into existence.
Yeah, I think she says, before she like starts, she says, I think we need to be prepared for Samantha to have potentially put some blocks in here. So if you see anything weird happening, wake me up.
Hey, Sammy, Miguel says, let me come with you.
Come with me? You could.
Oh.
Ooh, that's different.
Yeah, I can kind of hitchhike.
Okay.
And I think maybe two of us together are more likely to fight whatever could be in his head.
Yeah, I feel like Samantha being Samantha, if she's able to put blocks in here, she would have. Or even whatever he is, and she gestures down at Hank.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Bjorn will, like, pull out his axe, and we'll be ready in case anything physical does happen, but hopefully not.
I think Henry is just standing at the bedside, just staring down at him, waiting for him to so much as twitch wrong.
I would keep your eyes out for portals, Henry.
All right, let's begin.
Let's go.
Sammy, you put your hand on his head, and you feel Miguel's hand on your forearm, and he kind of clamps his hand down on your forearm, and you begin to try to dive into Hank's mind. Go ahead and roll. Use magic.
Okay. We're still using physical dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick one that looks like coffee and one that looks like the empty man. Oh, no! Oh, I'm so glad I have a +3. That's 6 +3, that's a 9.
Ooh.
Oh,
oh boy.
That's good. All right, what do you want for your glitch?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, unwelcome attention would make sense, possibly.
I don't really want unwelcome attention in that someone comes into the oubliette.
I mean, not into the oubliette, I just...
Or
within
dream,
the mind space.
Or, yeah. Mind space.
Do whatever you'd like.
I'll take one harm.
Sammy, you touch his forehead and close your eyes. You feel Miguel's hand on your arm, and you can immediately feel like this extra presence that you've never felt before. Having Miguel there to kind of hitchhike along with your mind, it's just kind of a sort of warm, soothing kind of mental presence. But together, you guys dive into the mind of Hank. And immediately, you are enclosed in this darkness. And you begin to see around you sort of bits of this purple energy in this sort of dark void. And you see this purple energy form into the form of Hank in front of you.
Oh.
And he kind of tilts his head to the side to look at you. And then he kind of pushes his hands out forward. And you can feel this onslaught against you. This kind of mental attack. But at least for now, you're able to withstand it.
Okay.
And he kind of frowns. What are you looking for?
Can I flip him off before I start looking for stuff?
You can, oh. Yes.
Okay.
You are kind of standing like this, you hold your finger up to flip him out, flip him off, and you can see your arm is just this, you're just made of this golden energy. And you can see beside you, the figure of Miguel, who is, standing there with his hand on your arm.
Okay. That's cool. does he give her a disapproving look at the gesture, or... Does he understand?
I think he smiles.
Okay.
Hank.
Oh. I was talking about Miguel, but okay.
I don't think Miguel changes his expression.
Sammy is gonna start looking around to see if she can find whatever deal he made. And how it's, like, different, I guess.
So, in front of you, the purple form of Henry disappears, frowning, and then is replaced a couple seconds later by the kind of spectral outline of a chair, a purple chair. And you see Henry sit down in the chair, running his fingers through his long hair, like it is now in your timeline. And he looks nervous, he looks scared, even in this sort of weird outline form, you can tell he looks freaked out. And then you see Sammy kind of walk in to this space, Samantha, and he looks up at her and he says, I can't do this. And she says, I don't see that we have much of a choice. We can either do what Jadis says or we'll die. We can't have him around. We can't have him messing up our plans. And he says, this monster is the thing that has been plaguing my family for centuries. You can't just expect me to... And he kind of pauses and she says, consume it. That's what you're going to do. You are going to take over this thing. And she kind of puts both of her hands on his shoulders and he looks up at her and he looks scared and you see her eyes flash with green light. And she says, you don't have a choice. And you see him blink and you see the green light kind of flash in his own eyes and he says, I don't have a choice.
Oh my gosh. What the?
No, she didn't.
Oh, she did. She
and
did.
And then the scene in front of you vanishes a couple seconds later and you see the spectral form of Henry standing in front of you again. Crossing his arms, looking at you. You can tell it's current Henry because of his shaved head.
Hank.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He doesn't look smug anymore. He looks upset.
Oh gosh, I feel so different now about what's going on. Can I talk to the spectral Hank?
You can try.
I think Sammy looks like really upset. Because obviously she totally understands what just happened there. She also, like, when she had Jadis in her, exerted her will over other people. Like, she knows what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she says, she made you consume the empty man?
Kind of shrugs. Doesn't say anything.
It wasn't your choice. She took the choice away from you. That doesn't make you upset? You didn't want to do this.
And he kind of... he'd been kind of looking down, and he looks back up, and he catches your eye. And he just kind of stares at you. You can... I think you see, Sammy. I think you could see, like, his lower lip is, like, trembling a little, but he still doesn't say anything.
Oh, buddy.
You see him swallow. His eyes are still hard, though.
I think Sammy takes a very small step forward and then says, is there a way we can get rid of it? Separate you two again?
He shakes his head.
There has to be some way to reverse this. What did she make you do?
And Sammy, he disappears again. And in his place, you see a somewhat familiar image, the image of him lying down on this medical bed, but he's awake now. Still with the longer hair, so you know it's farther back in the past. And you see, just like in the current time, he's handcuffed to the bed so he can't move. He's wearing this open front shirt, and he's got the shirt kind of sitting open so that you can see his scrawny chest with his all of two chest hairs. And you see Sammy come forward and place her hands on his chest, and she begins chanting in a language that, Sammy, you think sounds familiar now, but you don't know what she's saying. And as she's doing so, this green energy swirls around these two purple characters in this this image. And you can see on his chest there's burning out this circular rune on his chest, and it burns across and he's screaming. And then you see someone else kind of walks into the scene. In this void, another purple figure. Another figure made up of this purple energy, but you still recognize her. It's River. And she holds out this stone, this strange-looking purple gemstone, and places it in the center of Henry's chest. And then, Sammy, she says the words. She says the empty man's name. And you can see it written across this stone. You can see it kind of wrap itself around the stone. And then Samantha, with his chest glowing with this green rune, she presses the stone into the middle of his chest. And then everything is calm. Everything stops. His chest glows green for a second. The lines of this rune on his chest turn purple. And his eyes fly open, glowing with a purple energy.
Oh no.
And then the scene vanishes again, and you can see Hank standing in front of you again. He's got his hands in spectral pockets. He kind of looks down at the ground and glances back up at you and looks down again.
So I'm guessing getting rid of this stone gets rid of the empty man?
And I think as you say that, he kind of takes a step towards you. And he puts his hands in the middle of his chest, and he digs his fingers in and then pulls apart his like spectral chest. He pulls aside his ribs and sternum so you can see what's on the inside, and there's no heart there. It's just the stone.
What?
Oh boy, that's creepy.
Oh.
And then he kind of wipes his chest and it goes back to normal.
I think Sammy has, like, tears in her eyes. This is really upsetting her.
You have tears in your eyes, and you can feel, like, Miguel's fingers, like, digging into your skin through the outside world, just digging in hard, and he probably doesn't even realize he's doing it.
I think all she can say is just, what did she do to you?
And He looks down again and puts his hand over his chest. And he looks back up at you again. And you can see his eyes are glowing brighter with this purple energy that his entire body is made up of.
Why did she do this to you?
And you see him kind of look up into the void above him. And you see him give a heavy sigh, and he just looks back down at you again. You get the idea he can't talk.
Yeah, I gathered that.
She could try to touch him and see if it's telepathic or something.
No, I think we got what we came for. I think she looks over to Miguel beside her and kind of says, like, quietly, I think we should go.
As you do that, you turn towards Miguel. I think Hank reaches out and touches you in the middle of the forehead. And just for a moment, you are shot backwards through your own mind. And Sammy, you see yourself standing in a very similar void. Yourself, your corporeal, normal form, standing in front of a woman. Jadis, you remember this. You've been here before. And you hear Jadis offer you a deal. And then a couple seconds later, you are flying backwards again through. And you're back here standing in this strange void with these strange energy spectral void forms.
Okay. Wait, so did he like kick us out or are we still there?
No, you're still there. But as he kind of looks at you, you can see his eyebrows are up like, did you get that? And then a couple seconds later, like dust in the wind, his form begins to disappear and kind of blows apart, and you are kicked back out into your bodies. You can feel Miguel's hand still on your arm, shaking, and as he lets go, suddenly you can see small bruises beginning to form where his fingers were digging into your skin.
When they're obviously back, Henry looks quickly between the two of them. It's like, what happened? What did you see?
And Miguel just curses really loudly.
Yeah, I think Sammy has to take a moment to actually wipe tears out of her eyes. I don't think she's able to answer right away.
Miguel doesn't answer either.
I think Henry's just looking at him rather sharply because I don't think he's heard this particular language come from Miguel before.
I think eventually Sammy stands up and kind of starts to like pace as she composes herself. And then she starts to explain everything that they just saw.
Okay.
So she tells you guys everything, including the part where Hank sent her back to the deal with Jadis before they got kicked out.
So other you with Jadis made things happen.
Yeah.
Not what I would have thought. He's
me
just
neither.
He's just contemplating because, number one, he was not expecting it to be a I don't want to do this. Number two, yeah. He was also not expecting River to willingly do this to be party
yeah.
to. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Bjorn is just kind of thinking for a moment, and then he just says, I think this is gonna force us to confront something that I'm trying to not be thinking about.
Miguel looks up at you and then looks away like he knows what you're gonna say.
Bjorn kind of crosses his arms and he says, when they first came through, I asked them why they couldn't just ask for help. And it's pretty obvious why they couldn't now, considering that it seems like their entire angle is playing with fire to try to merge our realities back together to save themselves, which we don't even know is going to work. So the question is there saving any of these people? Or is it just a futile waste of time to even try?
I think Sammy's too upset again to answer. You can see her lip is like quivering and she's like has her fist clenched and she's trying to compose herself because she doesn't like this at all. Especially after to see what they did to Henry.
Yeah, and Bjorn looks very uncomfortable too.
I mean, if there were a way, I mean, of course I'd want to try, but I don't know if there is, or even if there's time, if there was.
I mean, here's the problem. Do we think that anybody in our world knows about this kind of thing? I mean, we are talking about another reality that was created by a decision that was made. How do we even know how to deal with something like that? I mean, that's not just hunt a monster and figure out how to stop it. This is messing with reality almost. It's kind of just a false way to make ourselves feel better, but do these people even really exist?
Obviously, they really exist.
It was a hypothetical question, but I...
It's a question that deserves to be answered, and yeah. The answer is, of course, they do.
Fair enough. But what can we do for them? We're talking about a Henry that doesn't even have a heart anymore. We're talking about a Sammy that is willingly working with Jadis, or maybe even is Jadis now. And I don't even know what my deal is, but in my opinion, I've clearly gone off the deep end. So, I mean, just those three right there. Do we really want to find a way to bring those three back here?
No, we don't want to find them, but like...
I don't want to kill them either.
There's so many people in Thornvale, though.
I know.
Like, we can't just abandon those people just because they're not our people.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm not saying I don't agree with you, but do we know what we can do? Do we have time to figure out what we can do? We're talking about potentially our entire world here for a couple thousand people. I don't like it. I'm not saying that this is a good decision, but I'm just asking the question.
This is beyond us. We need help.
Help from who? Who in the world has the knowledge to be able to make heads or tails of this? We certainly don't.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one person we know that has any idea. Never mind.
Who are you referring to?
You're not...
The librarian? You're not
you are suggesting it.
Never mind.
Henry's immediate thought is Jadis, which would be...
Mm-hmm.
We could start with the spellbook, if we're gonna go that route.
Yeah, I don't want to think about actually working with her. Clearly it didn't work out well once, and he's looking at Sammy. Well, twice, I guess.
I want nothing to do with her. I'm gonna make that perfectly clear. However, we might be able to get inside of her head a little bit if we look at the book.
I'm guessing that Jadis is the one who taught them how to use the soul magic. That's what she did. She used a gemstone again. It's the same thing we've seen with the other kinds of... I'm wondering if it's the same thing.
Right.
Like, I have searched everything through Lucy's stuff, and she was interested in it, but she didn't understand how... She didn't get it to this extent. Not using souls. Combining magic and technology, yes, but like not anything like this.
I mean, that's why we went to get the stone, right?
Yeah, fair point. We were already planning to do that. I guess we just have another reason to now. The problem is we still know so little about exactly how this other reality works. We have ideas, we have theories, but we don't know just what the other me is messing with here. We don't know how good or bad this idea of his is. I mean, clearly it's not good if he's hurting people like he's hurting people, you know, using monsters to create the openings that he needs to steal people, but I think it's a fair assumption that it's not good to try to force these realities back together after so much time, but...
We could talk to the other Stanley more, see what he knows.
I was gonna say, we have a source in the kitchen right now.
It's not a bad idea, I'm not saying we shouldn't try it, but we all know that the Marlowes aren't exactly the magic people. If we had stolen other Miguel, maybe, but it's worth a shot, I'm not getting my hopes up. No offense, Henry.
None taken.
I think Bjorn looks down at Hank, who's, I'm assuming, still unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, I think we need to set up a watch on him, clearly. Just, I don't know what we're gonna do with him.
I could stay here. I mean, I'm gonna have to read the book in here anyways, right? To cancel out the rift magic.
I can put some wards around him that should... It'll keep him here. I can trap him here. Henry won't be able to come in here, but I should be able to trap him here.
Okay.
Fine by me.
Should we stop Sammy from entering the room, too? I mean, isn't that exactly where Samantha would go? Is the oubliette first?
But she's got to be
here. Or do you think there's
other
reasons that she can't make it? if you're blocking rift magic, I guess maybe she can't. Never mind.
I can try to block both of you. I mean, I can block everyone.
It just prevents Sammy from being able to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would a witch circle trap her?
Only if we knew exactly where she was going to be.
Can you make one large enough for the whole room?
No.
Okay. Well, if you put one right underneath Hank, presumably she'd have to grab him, so...
Yeah, but she's not dumb enough to actually step into something that's...
That's fair.
And it's not a witch circle for us. He gives Sammy a look.
What does that mean?
He's just saying, like, you called it a witch circle when you guys make a trap, but it's not a witch circle. It's a dragon knight circle.
Witch circle is like a witch making a circle to trap things, is what.
Well, that's what
saying.
We called yeah. the. That's what we called the things that trapped the witches. The when we trapped the witches in season one, we called them witch circles.
I suppose it's technically yeah. a witch circle if it's specifically.
Is that's
to be
what we called
witches.
The things we painted on
that's
the ground to trap
it.
The witches
yeah.
in season one. We called them yeah. witch circles.
Yeah.
You didn't have a problem with it back then, is what she's saying.
It's still technically incorrect, yeah. but it's fine. It doesn't matter.
It works. I think Bjorn will just look at the other three and he'll just say, I'll watch him first. You all go do your magic research.
I think Sammy needs to go cry for a little bit. I think she needs to go have a good cry.
if she's going to do
not
that...
Actually, no, I'm kidding. I mean... Actually, yes, but no, she's not just gonna go cry.
Well, either way, I think, I mean, Henry would definitely be curious about asking Manly questions, so he's probably gonna head that way.
All right, so you guys gonna go ask Manly some questions?
Yeah. I think before they get there, though, Sammy's gonna grab Henry by the shoulder and kind of spin him around to, like, make him look at her. And say,
what?
You know, I would never do that to you, right? I wouldn't do that.
What kind of idiot do you think I am? Of course I know that.
Okay, good. Then she, like, pushes him away, like, get going.
And, yeah, I think they continue.
She's having a hard time with this.
She is, and that's, I think that's also why he was a bit aggressive in the answer. He's like... This is to let her know that I am me, and I know that.
So, as we leave them behind, Bjorn, you're kind of sitting here with Henry or Hank, I suppose. What are you feeling right now? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So, I mean, they leave, and Bjorn is. I think he like kind of like leans against the wall, and maybe like kind of like starts rubbing his forehead. And then he sits there and is just staring at Hank. He's kind of like crossing his arms. And he's having an ugly thought that he chooses not to act on. He chooses not to act on it, but he is wrestling with the idea of, is it better off for me to just end this now for him, or should we try to find a way to save these people? And like Hank is like the focus of this for him because... The general idea, like, that he was presenting to the group was, can we save any of the alternate people? Not just us, but, like, any of the people from the other side. I think the others, like, kind of brought him back into it. He reverted a little bit and was thinking, like, what's the pragmatic choice here? And, you know, the focus for him is Hank, you know. Can I really save this version of Henry, my friend, who I don't even know if there's a way to save him as a, like, just as, like, a regular kid anymore at this point, you know, with how far gone he is. And that kind of messes Bjorn up a little bit. Like, he has that dark thought and he's like, you know, no, I can't just make that choice for him like that. We have to try. Like, he kind of resolves himself that we have to try to find something. There has to be some kind of compromise other than just they destroy the world or we kill them all. But he doesn't know what that is yet. So he's kind of wrestling with that on his own while he's alone with Hank.
Yeah. That's kind of what
that's
got you into this situation in the first place.
Yeah.
That question of, is it better to end this here, or do I try something a little harder?
Yeah.
Shades of his alternate, perhaps?
That, yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe I could steal that from you, Susanna.
Yeah.
I think maybe Bjorn has that exact thought. Maybe what helps snap him out of it when he's sitting here like holding his axe in his hand. Like he has his axe in his hand. Like I think that is the ugly thought he has, is I could just walk over to him now. He's defenseless. I don't know how his magic works, but I presume cutting your head off, you know, doesn't yeah. save you. And then he thinks about it and he's like, that's what the other Bjorn did. It's not would do, like another version of me did that to Ben, and that's yeah. why we're in this situation. I think that's what snaps him out of it.
I think Bjorn, you kind of, do you think maybe even that like realization just makes you just like drop the axe down?
Yeah, I think so.
So,
and I think he'll like sit down because he's like leaning against the wall. I think he'll just sit down and kind of put his head in his hands, just kind of like think.
Yeah. The sound of the axe hitting the ground kind of reverberates off of the walls of this room. And Bjorn, you just kind of sit down on the ground with your head in your hands in the quiet that ensues afterwards. And I think that's where we're going to leave it.
Oh.
No. Oh, boy.
We have things to do.